Foundation stone. We're going to be camping in Matthew 8. So if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to be hanging out for a little bit. How many is enjoying church so far this morning? Woo! God is here. And so is Neil. Thank you, Neil, for all of this. God is good. I love hymns. I was talking to Bob earlier about a good hymn. I mean, the words alone, just the scripture that you can find in hymns, it's just penetrating to my heart. And truly, the salvation process and just everything that goes into our life and how we live, the hymns carry us through our relationship, right? Don't get me wrong, I love worship. I love our music that's coming out and the writers that we have now. Just the way life goes and our culture changes in music. I'm sure it's changed a lot since David, you know, running around with tambourine and, you know, in his underwear and stuff like that. You know, those things were happening back then that may not want to see right now in this morning in this framework. But isn't God good? And the reason why I bring that up is because, see, Jesus hasn't changed. He's an everlasting God. We just sang about that. Isn't that, aren't you thankful for that? God is still the same God when he parted the sea. That God is still the same God that helped David take down Goliath. That God is still the same God. I can keep going, right? That we see walking through the Bible to Jesus and his ministry to today, he's still the same God. And guess what? Tomorrow he's going to be the same God. And I love the new Elevation song. It's probably not new, but to me it is. And I've been listening to it a lot on repeat, especially in the shower this morning. I had it cranking up. Same God. He is the same God. And there's this verse that we kind of stick to as a denomination. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that awesome? And what else is cool is, if you kind of look at our logo for the Four Square denomination, you'll see a chalice. And this chalice represents that Jesus is our healer. How many are thankful for that? And it represents more than just being our healer, right? And when I was looking at and kind of concentrating on what that means in our lives, or especially what it means to me personally, and the scriptures that you can see beside this logo at times, it's really more than a logo. It's more than what we understand at times. In that worship song, Same God, it talks about, I'm praying to the God of Moses. So thankful for when he split the sea, but I need you to do that for me today. And there's things in my life today that I need God, I need Jesus to move. To prepare for me. Man, I've been having a bum shoulder lately. And I'm like, God, come on. I need this shoulder to work. At least go a little higher than it's been going lately. But he's the same God. In Matthew 8:17, it says this. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. There's so much context in those words. There's so much into that. And when I was looking at and thinking about Jesus as our healer, sometimes our human mindset goes, well, then he should be healing everything. If Jesus is my healer, I should be healed right now. I want you to touch me, Lord God. Why am I still in this position that I'm in? Why am I still walking out cancer in my life? Why am I still in this bed with MS? Why is this Parkinson's still taking over my life? Lord, where are you as my healer? Amen? Because it's more than just Jesus being our healer. He's our Savior. And in Matthew 8, there are three stories that bring us to the significance of verse 17. We got to read everything before that, before we get to verse 17, to bring in the context of what was given by the prophet Isaiah and the suffering servant. If you've ever read the story of the suffering servant. Some call it the song the servant song. There's just different words or meanings. I love how Matthew draws us into the suffering servant story found in Isaiah by bringing these healings to us. He brings these healings to us to bring us to verse 17, connecting Jesus as a healer into the atonement for our sins. There's the biggest healing you can ever have, amen? Is the forgiveness of our sins. When Jesus went to the cross, we just talked about devouring Jesus. Eating the bread of Jesus. The blood, drinking the blood. It's the atonement. The greatest healing I had in my life was Jesus forgiving me. Oh gosh. Connecting Jesus as our healer into the atonement for our sins. To me, what Matthew was doing here also was pointing us right to the cross. Pointing us to the cross. Because if the cross didn't happen, we wouldn't have our healer today. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is why Jesus is our healer. Amen? Showing us Jesus cares about our wholeness. Our whole body. And I feel an understanding is where we are in life. When bringing us healing, it's for our mental. It's for our physical. It's for our spiritual, most of all. To make us right with Christ. Make us right with God the Father. Make us right with the Holy Spirit, right? To make us level with Him in the aspect that we are saved and we will spend eternity with Him. It's the forgiveness of our spiritual where our healing begins. We see Jesus again going away from the norm with a leper and then a Gentile and a woman bringing healing. If you think about just the way the things happened in those days, the Jewish tradition and the way the Jewish things happened, you would understand that this is out of the ordinary for what Jesus is doing in this chapter. Jesus as our healer is for everyone. Not just for us sitting in this room. Jesus is our healer outside these doors. To the man that's sitting on the street right now holding a sign asking for food. To the ones that are living in chaos, homelessness. To the ones caught in addiction. To those caught up into mental illness. I mean, I could keep going. Anxiety, depression, all those things Jesus came and died for. Again, He's going away from the norm and things. We first see Jesus touching a leper. Verse 3. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now you got to understand what's happening here. Remember, lepers are cast out. They're not even allowed to be in the area, let alone touch one. Because then you got to go through this whole process of cleansing yourself for touching a leper, let alone the leper being anywhere near what Jesus is doing at that moment. This is a powerful demonstration of His willingness to put loving concern above social taboo. Above everything that we feel like Christ should do in means of what we think in the context of the church, He goes outside of it. He crosses the line and says, no, I will touch you and heal you. I will cleanse you. And all the leper does is he comes to the man, Jesus, and says, I want you to heal me. He goes above the social taboo. I think of the culture we're in. It makes so much sense right now. As Jesus is our healer and where we're at in our culture, Jesus wants us to cross the lines and say, you can be healed. You can be forgiven. He loves you. Again, He's pointing to the cross and the meaning of His cross. The meaning of what He is and who He stands for. The whole reason God sent Jesus, His Son, to earth to touch us and to move amongst us and bring us to a place where we live eternity with Him. Some people sat in that area and just like, what are you doing? You can't even touch this guy. Let alone heal him. How many times have you sat in a place where the Holy Spirit's moving you to do something, but you're listening to the crowd? You're listening to the people and the voices around you saying, we're not supposed to be in the midst of that right now. We're supposed to keep them at bay. Maybe we'll make a few protest signs and protest what's happening over there. And Jesus all along is saying, step over that line and show them love. They're looking for healing for me too. They're looking for forgiveness. I was having a conversation just a couple days ago with somebody at the school. And I mean, they were on this guy, just downgrading, just all this stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know where it came from. All of a sudden I just said, wait a minute, didn't Jesus die for him? Didn't Jesus go to the cross for him? And you're talking like this about him? Shouldn't you turn this around instead of us sitting here gossiping about him? Should we pray for him? Can we pray right now for his salvation? Because Jesus loves him. Just as much as he loves me. And I thank God that somebody listened to Christ when they came and told me about him. What if no one ever listened and presented the gospel to you? Okay, that's another sermon. You've already had 3 or 4 sermons today. I'll try to stick to one. Also with the leper, we see the command to show yourself to the priest in verse 4. As would be required, found in the law of Leviticus, this served as a testimony then both of Jesus' respect for the law and of his healing power as Messiah. See, in that day, you had to present yourself to the priest and do certain sacrifices and get to the place where restoration, or the guilty offering, they called it, get to the place where you're healed and saved through the priest process. It's a long process. And Jesus is like, I respect that, but know that you're healed already, but I want you to go back to that priest and explain and show what I've done. Confirming Jesus' authority and a witness to the crowd there that Jesus is our healer. That his authority alone causes the healing of the leper or the healing of us. His authority is something that we have to respond to. In some of our studies, we understand, and I listened to this just last Wednesday, as the Lord, as our owner. He created us, right? Netted us in our mother's womb, confirming Jesus' authority and witness to others that he is our healer. We next see in verses 5 through 13 a centurion and his servant who were non-Jewish soldiers. Wow, I probably need that coffee. Soldiers in the army asking for healing for his servant. In those days, you wouldn't find a legion of Roman army inside where they're at in this Capernaum. And he's sitting there and he's in the auxiliary, but they're non-Jewish soldiers. And right now he's coming for this with Jesus saying, my servant needs healed. Which Jesus agrees to by saying, I will come and heal him. So this centurion comes and says, I have a servant that is sick and needs to be touched by you. He's heard what Jesus has done. He's heard of the healing miracles that have been going on in the ministry of Jesus. And he's like, I need you to come and touch my servant so that we can be active again in our military. And verse 8 says this, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word. And my servant will be healed. Just say the word. What does this have to do with Jesus as our healer? Right? You're asking me? And I'm glad you're asking that question. It has to do with faith in Jesus as our healer. I mean, this is an extreme faith here. This is also commended by Jesus, this faith that he gives in this. The centurion recognizes Jesus was under God's authority, just as he was under the emperor's authority. If you have any context or concept of how the military works, you know whoever's boss is telling everything that's happening, and you're activating everything that person wants you to do. And that's what this soldier knows. Whatever the emperor says, he acts. He does. And Jesus was vested with God's authority. So when Jesus spoke, God spoke. To defy Jesus was to defy God. And Jesus' word must therefore be vested with God's authority that is able to heal sickness. And this analogy reveals an amazing extreme faith on the part of the centurion. He understood the authority that was in Jesus and had faith that he didn't even need to touch his servant or even come near the servant. His word alone would make it happen. That's some faith. And I wonder sometimes where our faith lies in as Jesus as our healer, or even in his repentance, in our repentance of our sins, and in the forgiveness. Do we really realize the forgiveness that he gives us in the healing of our bodies and our power, in our sins? White as snow, the scripture says. We know this because Jesus commended the man's faith in verse 10. It says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. This man understood the person and the divinity in Jesus. He understood the authority that was given. And in that faith, he understood who Jesus was to him. And I ask, do we take time to really understand? Do we take time when we're seeing these words? Do we take time when we're in church? Or do we take time to go into the closet in our home? You don't have to go literally into the closet, but find private space to understand who Jesus is in your life. What has he done? We heard about the stones that were set to remind of the things, the miracles, the healings. Can you look back at your past and see Jesus working? Do you remember the things he's taken you out of? That he's brought you out of? Not because he could heal from a distance, but the authority in Jesus is what we're seeing here. This centurion's faith is found deeply into the nature of Jesus' person and authority. His divine nature was recognized in his faith. He understood what Jesus could do. And in that context of understanding Jesus' authority and Jesus as our healer, and through that faith that we have in him, we sometimes look at things and go, God, where are you at? Why does it not feel like you're here with me? Why is there no healing happening? Because we're in that human nature where we think it has to be completely immediately into a physical thing. But in the mindset of things that are happening in the spiritual realm, things are happening in our lives that we have no doubt about or even knowledge of in the healing of our spirit, in the healing of our soul, in the healing of our minds. I truly don't think the same way I used to do maybe 15 years ago. Amen? I truly don't live my lifestyle in the way I used to live 15 years ago. I've molded and I've changed and I've been transformed. That's Jesus as our healer. He's constantly moving us closer to righteousness and holiness, getting us ready for that eternity with him. Amen? And it all comes back to that cross. It all comes back to that moment God sent his son. I mean, we live in a fallen world. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Praise you. You cursed us. Hallelujah. And in that curse, we live in a place where we have our lives the way they are. We have the way the things of human nature abounds in this world. Disease and sickness is just, it's the way of this world's life. And sometimes the kingdom element is more important to God than just the stuff happening out here, right? He wants us ready for the kingdom element. He wants us inviting people into the kingdom element. This stuff, it's going to pass. My Dodge truck ain't going to heaven with me. That bear you just shot yesterday, it's not going with you. He wants us ready for the kingdom element. He wants us to be preparing these kids on this trip and then the children's church for the kingdom element. Jesus as our healer, restoring our minds, restoring our spirit, restoring us physically when he sees his will to be done in that. Trust me, I've been losing. My brother-in-law is in. His cancer's eating him. Just eating him. This guy has been faithful since he was born, unlike me or some of you. This guy's been faithful to God his whole life. And I'll be honest with you, I just sat in the bathroom. Scott actually walked into me. And I'm looking at his picture and I'm looking at things and I'm like, why, God? What are you doing? Do you know what Michael's done for you his whole life? You're our healer. We see another incident looking at verse 14 and verse 15. When Jesus enters Peter's house, he sees his mother-in-law. This is a miracle here. His mother-in-law. Oh, I thought I'd get something out of my mother-in-law, but she didn't even phase. He saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And verse 15 says, he touched her hand and the fever left her and she rose. And guess what she begins to do? She begins to serve Jesus. Here's the thing. No one asked him to do it. You don't see Peter saying, hey, my mother's in the room over there, got a fever and sickness. Can you go touch her? Can you heal? No, Jesus sees. So do you think Jesus sees where you're at right now? Does he see where we're at? Do you think he knows our heart and our minds? Does he know what I crave for? He sees it and he touches her. But her reaction is to serve. When my mother was dying in her MS days, final stages, and we were trying to spend time in that last room, me and Melissa were sitting in the room. You know, some of the stories I didn't like she was telling my wife, because now she knows a lot about me when I was a young kid. But Melissa can attest to this. Every person that walked into that room, she was telling them about Jesus. No one came into her room or her hospital room and did not walk out without the gospel. And I used to get so upset with her about that when I would come home late with alcohol in my breath and see her praying at the couch for me. I'd get mad. I'd get upset. And then I'm watching her sit in this death moment and all she can talk about is Jesus. Jesus was her healer. Even though we didn't see the physical healing, he was healing her and preparing her for eternity with him. And I truly believe the ultimate healing was when she gasped her last breath and went into the presence of the Lord. Why? Heal me now, Lord. Take me home. Again, this healing was effective and immediate, as pointed out. She got up and began to serve Christ. I mean, we don't know exactly. She may have said, well, thanks. Hallelujah. But she immediately began to serve. She didn't get healed. She didn't find salvation, get forgiveness, and then move on with her life and do her own agenda. No, she began to serve. And the thing I find fascinating there was no one asked. Jesus saw, and here's the thing, he did his will for her. Just as he will do for all of us. His will be done in our life. And sometimes we don't like his will, because I have a different idea. I had a different plan. But his will keep me on track for the kingdom, amen? We see Jesus heals many and casts out spirits, bringing us to Matthew 17. Many begin to heal. After he done this, Peter's mom, people started flooding in. The crowd started coming. He was healing demon-possessed people. He was healing people with whatever they had going on in their lives. I think he was healing mental illness. He was healing depression, anxiety, whatever you had going on. MS, Parkinson, whatever he was healing. And he was just knocking it out of the park. And it brings us to Matthew 17, which Matthew's says is fulfilling Isaiah 53, which says, starting verse 4 through verse 5, I think we'll have it up there. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Praise God for that. His wounds brought us healing. We see in Isaiah 53 that Jesus, as the servant of the Lord, suffered death in the place of us, sinners. The cross was all about us coming into forgiveness. He was the answer to the curse. He was the answer to this fallen world. He was the answer to what we do and deal with every day. He's the answer today, and he'll be the answer tomorrow. He was the answer yesterday, amen? He's the same God that we're reading about here in the Old Testament. He's the same God that went to the cross, and he knew. When he looked at the Father, or he's praying to the Father, and he says, "Let your will be done." The moment before that, he's like, "Can you take this cup from me?" And you think about his divine nature and his human nature. Is there a battle going on there for a moment? Is there something going on there? No, he knows the Father's will. And he's like, "I got to do the Father's will because I love you and you love me and you sent me for this purpose. So according to your will." He was pierced because of our rebellion. Crushed because of our iniquities. Think about this for a minute. Because of my things I did, he was brought to the cross so that I could have life today. The greatest healing. We're searching sometimes for healings that we may not understand here, but he's healing us from far greater things. He's healing us from hell. Whoa, you said hell in church. That's why Jesus came, right? Think about it for a moment. Let's go back. But sometimes we look at Jesus as our healer. I think we get so caught up into what the world thinks Jesus should be doing healing us, we forget what the kingdom is doing in our life. We forget what God the Father, his whole plan for us. So we come expecting, yes, great, signs and wonders. I love signs and wonders. And I know God is showing himself supernaturally. But there's times we search for that over than what God's will is for us. Oh my gosh, he's not healing me. I guess the church and the Jesus isn't the answer. Boom, I'm out. Well, wait a minute. There's more to this story. And sometimes it gets so heart-wrenching. We get so broken and we begin to blame the God that created us for our problems. Oh, sorry. He was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Amen? He's healing our anxieties, even when you don't realize it. He's healing the depression as we surrender and we open up. Sometimes we isolate ourselves and we begin to blame God for our things. We begin to blame the church, especially when the church comes in and starts praying with you and keeping you accountable to what you're trying to be transparent about. We try to keep you in line with Christ and what Christ is asking. And then you're like, "I've had enough. I can't do this anymore." And we forget the real context of Jesus as our healer. Because what we're doing is we're not allowing the healing at all. we're walking away from His perfect plan. And as we walk into that presence, He can heal our physical conditions if He wills. And most of all, He's healing our spiritual condition with forgiveness. Surrender, forgiveness. Surrender, repentance. Surrender. It's a daily thing. Paul says, every day choose the cross or your flesh, the spirit or the flesh. It's not just one moment and it's done. It's something we have to deal with daily. And if we looked at Jesus as our healer, it's a daily thing. And sometimes we're looking at Jesus as our healer just so that we can make it to tomorrow. Amen? And Jesus as our healer means that He will meet you where you're at. And that's one thing I hope we can focus in on. When the community we walk about, your coworkers, your schoolmates, walking down the street, walking on the trails. Me and my wife went walking on the trail yesterday with Ruby. Well, literally, Ruby pulled us on the trail. Instead of walking her, she walked us. I even got to run him for a little bit. But in those moments, you come on the contact with somebody on the path. I mean, these moments are being done and happening in our lives for the purpose of the kingdom. It doesn't just stay here for an hour and a half today. You see what I'm saying? We carry this with us out those doors. We carry that to our workplaces. The guy at the gas, when he's filling my truck the other day, I just said, you know what, man? Thank you, and God loves you. He took a second look for a moment. He goes, what did you say? I said, God loves you. Because that changed my life. Hopefully it changed his. He didn't say another word. He just went and filled up another car. But I'm hoping. And then I heard a story from another person the other day, and he's like, I don't know why this person opens up, tells me their whole life, just vomits on me. I'm like, opportunity. Speak into their life. Encourage them. Pray with them. Offer them to come to church. Offer them to go to a life group. Offer them to go to dinner. The reason why they're pouring out to you is because they found something you they trust. They love your story, and there's something in your story they want to relate to. Jesus as our healer is a story. When you tell your story, Jesus is healing. Every time something happens in my life, and I know pastors always talk about their life. Well, it's because it's our experiences that help us understand who Christ is. Amen. I hope that's what's happening in your life, that your experience with Christ is changing you. But there's moments in my life I'm like, wow, that brought healing. After I just had the enemy attack me the hardest he could, thinking nobody loves me, no one cares about me. All they can think about is my past, the rumors, the stories. People must hate me. How does the church allow me to do what I do? You just start going. And then you have somebody come in and it just gives us encouraging word. And you're like, wow, Jesus, you're still there. You do love me. You did forgive me. Continued healing. It happens all the time when we don't realize Jesus is being our healer. Amen. He's healing us in His way, His will. Does that make sense? I hope so. Because He loves you. I love you. I know your pastor loves you. There may be a few others that love you. Nancy might love you. I know Nancy's a prayer warrior. I do. I know that. I know Tim cares. He says hi to me a lot. That makes me feel good. God is good. And in every moment we come into contact with Him, He's being our healer. I believe that. Father God, I love You. And I'm thankful for Neil today, Lord. Thank You for allowing him to share his gifts with us, to bring us into Your presence. I'm thankful, Lord, for the children's church right now, with the kids in there hearing Your word. I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm healed. I'm thankful, Lord, for this church and this community. Lord, now I ask You, as we move on from this place as we go home, as we go to work this week, as we go to school this week, and some of us may still be hunting bear, Lord, whatever is going on in our life, I pray that you move with us and give us confidence in our story, that you will encourage us to speak into the people's lives that you put into our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray for those that we're praying for that are unsaved still, that are broken. Lord, intervene. Holy Spirit, empower us. Bring us to a place, Lord, where we can share our story with somebody. And in that, invite them in to hear about you as Jesus, our healer. Lord, I pray over those with physical ailments. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I believe in faith that you can heal them. I pray your will to be done. Lord, those that are full of anxiety, depression, whatever may be going on mentally, Lord, I pray for healing there. I pray, Lord, that you send people along to help encourage them and understand that they're not alone, that you're the light in their darkness, Lord God. And then, Lord, just the spiritual. Lord, those things that we still need to surrender and repent of, can you surface that, Holy Spirit? Surface that so we can surrender and repent and move forward into righteousness and holiness. And Lord, that we can serve you with due diligence. Help us to recognize your authority in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.